Chapter 2. The plastic cocoon enveloping Bishop was more translucent than transparent. So even before milky white condensation had occluded the inside of the sleep capsule, all he'd been able to see were vague shapes, and not even that much after the lights dimmed. He could barely discern the outline of the thing growing out of the ragged hole where his torso ended, but he didn't have to see it to know what it was. He just didn't know how it had come about. This development didn't line up with anything they had learned about the xenomorphs. Apparently, there was far more to this particular horror than they had ever suspected. The intelligent beings that had engineered this species were highly complex and even more deadly than their creation. There was no doubt in Bishop's mind that the xenomorphs had been engineered. Humans had encountered plenty of aliens and the equally alien environments that had spawned them. On every world, nature was a merciless and unforgiving force that had produced some pretty startling life forms. But nature was also well-ordered. Even the most vicious predator had an ecological raison d'être. This species' behavior didn't fit any known system. The xenomorphs weren't territorial. They didn't seem to possess the concept. For all Bishop knew, they didn't even understand the idea of location, except in terms of a change in ambient condition. No matter where they were always in the same place. Their killing ground. Bishop filed that away for later study, although he had no idea if there would be a later for him. The Sulaco was so far off course that by the time anyone found it, the growth sprouting from his innards might have already consumed the rest of him and adapted itself as necessary. It was the only known life form capable of such extreme, not to mention rapid, biological adaptation, all for the sake of its drive to kill. As far as Bishop could tell, killing was the species' first and only purpose. The simplicity was deceptive, something humans had rarely, if ever, encountered in any life form larger than a virus. Humans tended to equate simplicity with simple, which had caused them to underestimate the species' capabilities and overestimate their own chances against it. There was little data on them because few people survived an encounter long enough to make any detailed notes, and those who did escape with their lives had little insight to offer beyond, take off and nuke them from orbit, it's the only way to be sure. But the aliens weren't just simple. They were pure. The sound of the alarm was slightly muffled by the sleep capsule, but it was no less discordant and unpleasant. Something else had gone wrong, but for the moment, Bishop didn't know whether it was a few malfunctioning sensors on the cargo deck or the hull starting to buckle from damage they hadn't detected before going into cold sleep. Or rather, more damage, he thought. If his unwanted bedfellow was any indication, a great deal had escaped their notice. Abruptly, the console nearest his row of sleep capsules activated and began to transmit a copy of the message currently scrolling slowly upward on the monitor to the incident log in Bishop's neural net. Troop Transport Sulaco. CMC 846A Beta. Status: Red. Treaty Violation. Reference number 99A655865. Cause: Navigation Error. The alarm cut off, and Bishop heard the bland, female voice of the ship's security system addressing the empty air.
Attention. This is a ship-wide notification. Due to a failure in the navigational system, the Sulaco has entered a sector claimed by the Union of Progressive Peoples. Auxiliary systems are now online, and the course has been corrected. In the absence of diplomatic override, hardwired protocols prevent arming of nuclear warheads. On the present corrected course, the Sulaco will exit the UPP sector at 1900 hours, 58 minutes.
A glitch in the navigational system wasn't good news, but it was preferable to imminent structural failure. Bishop was more concerned about the spoken announcement. With all of them in cold sleep, there shouldn't have been one. It could have been another glitch. There was never just one of anything, especially glitches. Or someone was up and moving around. someone or something. Bishop knew it couldn't be any of the three humans. A capsule malfunction would have tripped a different alarm to wake all three of them, who wouldn't have just left him like this. No, the surprise guest had to be a xenomorph. Despite their size and eagerness to kill, they were incredibly skilled at concealing themselves. The queen from LV-426 had stowed away in the dropship's landing gear without triggering any alarms, then made its presence known by driving its tail through his chest and ripping him in two like a piece of paper. Now, in hindsight, he knew they'd been foolish to assume the queen had been alone, that Ripley's forcing it out the airlock meant it was all over. But then, they'd all been more concerned about Corporal Hicks. He'd still been in a great deal of pain from acid blood burns, and Ripley had kept him conscious only long enough to brief him. She'd had a harder time getting Newt into the sleep capsule. When Ripley told her it was safe to dream again, the girl had looked at her with a mix of hope and uncertainty, as if wanting so much for Ripley to be right, but not quite believing it. Ripley had tried to be as gentle as possible when she had wrapped him in plastic and placed him in the capsule, even as he had assured her she wasn't hurting him. Pain served the same purpose for a synthetic as for humans, i.e. a warning that something was wrong, but it wasn't the same kind of physical sensation. It wasn't a pleasant sensation, but it wasn't debilitating in and of itself. He could damp it down to the equivalent of background noise while he continued to function. Being torn in half by a furious alien, however, exceeded all parameters of sensation. The pain utility had overloaded and was now completely offline. What resources were left in the ruins of his body were mostly concentrated on maintaining coherent mentation. He was programmed to continue as best he could until he had completed his mission or his power ran out. Ripley didn't seem to understand this, probably because she wasn't familiar with artificial persons made for hazardous duty, or maybe she had simply been demonstrating that she had forgiven him for being synthetic. It was too bad he'd been physically unable to do her the favor of putting her into cold sleep. As traumatized as she was, she'd needed gentleness a lot more than he did. Then again, if he had been able to put her into the capsule, maybe she'd have something growing out of her midsection. And for all he knew, she did. Perhaps all three of them did. There was no way to tell, no way to know if the humans were safe. The only thing he did know was there was never just one of anything. His vision started to dim as his systems put him into standby to conserve his remaining energy. His last observation was that the coating on the inside of the capsule lid was becoming thicker.